Okay. So I will change slightly notations. For me, this gap was a sort of unexpected. I didn't tell this story for quite a while, I guess more than 30 years. And I remember that there was a short story, but I didn't expect that I have to use some linear algebra, non-trivial linear algebra there. I thought it is simple. Anyway, here it is. We consider for a while a group ring of group CP. I will denote by CP the group of T to K, well, generated by element T, cyclic multiplicative group of order P. Okay. C, because it is multiplicative. I don't want to mix it up with additive group. And the additive group also will be involved because I'm going to consider the group ring of this group with coefficients in FP, which is ZP, but well, the the additive version, the field, okay. Formally speaking, it is the set of linear combinations of powers of T like this, where all these coefficients are elements from FP. I will think about this in two ways. First of all, it will be a vector space over FP of dimension P, right? The basis is 1, t, t squared, and so on. On the other hand, there is a multiplication there. I can multiply elements. It is group algebra. So it is algebra. And in particular, t acts by multiplication on this v. It is a periodic transformation, t to power p equals 1. By 1, I denote identity, which is clear also from this point of view. One is an element there. When you multiply by one, nothing changes, so it is identity. So it is an operator. And as an operator, it is periodic. Now let's consider another operator, tau, which is 1 minus t. It is also considered now not as an element of this vector space, but as an operator. I don't remember, maybe I denoted it somehow else. But anyway, what can we say about tau? Tau to power p is 1 minus t to power p. And this is, as I explained last time, it is zero, right? Because yeah. It is 1 to power p minus t to power p plus some linear combination with coefficients which are p choose something, and p choose something is 0 mod p. Right? If we just expand yeah. this, we will get yeah. that. So this means that tau is nilpotent. Let me remind that nilpotent operator is an operator whose power is zero. Some power is zero. Then, as usual, for any nilpotent operator, the kernel of it, the kernels of powers of it, form increasing sequence. Well, I can start with the zeroth power, which is kernel of identity, which is of course zero because identity has no kernel. But then it is contained in the kernel of tau, which is contained in the kernel of tau squared and so on. And after all, we get to the kernel of tau to p minus one and kernel tau to p, and tau to p is zero. So the kernel is the whole space. So we have an increasing sequence of subspaces. Each of them is a vector subspace of our V. And now let us take a look, what is this? So we start here with zero. And what is kernel of tau? Tau is multiplication by one minus t. So how it happens that one minus t times something equals zero? Let me write down it. One minus t times sum of a i's t to power i's for I from zero to p minus one. So what is this? So it is, say, if we start with, so let us just write down this. So this is sum of a I t to power I, because we multiply by one. And then we have to subtract sum of
I minus one.
I minus one t to power I, right?
Yeah.
And this means that this is the sum of OI, AI minus AI minus one t to power I. Here, I is considered mod p, so it is the same for all terms. And this means that the kernel is when all these AIs are equal to each other, when each of them is equal to the next one or previous one. So it is multiple to the sum of all powers. So this arbitrary element from the kernel looks like 1 plus t plus t squared plus et cetera plus t to power p minus 1 times some element of A. Some element of the field. Let me denote this sum. By sigma. Okay. As a matter of fact, this sigma is 1 minus t to power p minus 1. So this is tau to p minus 1. I told about this last time. Let me just repeat this calculation. Let me prove this. So we take 1 minus to power p minus 1. What is this? It is 1. And then, well, it doesn't matter. I can treat all the terms in the same way. So this is the sum for I from 0 to p minus 1. Then it should be this polynomial binomial coefficient p minus 1 choose p minus 1 minus I choose I, right? Then this sign gives me minus 1 to power I, and then t to power I, right? But the coefficients are mod p. The coefficients are mod p, therefore I can calculate it. Well, first of all, what is this binomial coefficient? It is p minus 1 times p minus 2 times whatever, p minus 1 minus I divided by 1 times 2 times 3, so I factorial. Minus 1 to power I, t to power I. But look now, in the numerator we have factors which are p minus some number. So p minus k mod k mod p equals minus 1 times k. So I can replace the numerator by this expression. So I have overall minus 1 to power I, and then in the numerator I have 1, 2, 3, etc. I. In the denominator I have the same. Then I have again this minus 1 to power I and t to power I. And you see now that this is just the sum t to power I, that is sigma. I'm done. Okay. Yes. Straightforward calculation. Last time I proved it in a little bit more philosophical way. But anyway, here is the result. Let us see what does it mean, sigma as an operator. What does it make? We multiply each term of our sum by all powers of t, and then sum up. So the result is the following when you multiply sigma by arbitrary element of this V, which is of this form, what you get is the sum of all AIs from 0 to p minus 1 times t to power j, and you take the sum over all j. So in other words, it is the sum of all coefficients of the original polynomial times sigma. So we see that the image of sigma is one-dimensional. It is just a span of sigma, just the subspace generated by this element sigma. Anyway, the dimension of this image is 1. And this is exactly the same as the kernel of tau. On the other hand, of course, the kernel of sigma has dimension p minus 1. Because always, when you have whatever operator, for any operator, theta, dimension of image of theta plus dimension of kernel of theta equals dimension of the whole space, which is P in our situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Let us look again at this filtration, so the increasing sequence of kernels. We see here that the dimensions of this the terms of these filtrations are like this. The dimension of kernel of tau 0 is 0. The dimension of kernel of tau is 1. We have seen this. The dimension of kernel of tau to P is P, it is the whole space. And then the dimension of the previous one, tau to P minus 1, which is sigma, is P minus 1. So we know the dimensions at least of the intermediate terms. The filtration is increasing. And as usual, as we have, when we have this kind of filtration for any operator, it if it stops increasing somewhere, then it does not increase anymore. So the fact that the dimension, that the last two terms are different, have different dimension, means that the increase is everywhere. Now, how many points do we have everywhere? Well, we have 1, 2, P minus 1, P. So we have P positions where we have an increase. And overall, the increase is by P. So it means that the increase is everywhere by 1. Dimension increases by 1. So we have here 2 and so on. It must increase everywhere. And it the overall increase is by P from beginning to the end. The positions where it may increase is exactly P. So we have the only possible situation is that everywhere the increase is by 1. Now, the key lemma that I missed last time is that the kernel of tau to power k is exactly the image of tau to power p minus k. Let me prove this. So, first of all, there is an inclusion in this direction. Oh, sorry, in the opposite direction. Indeed, if we multiply anything from the image of P minus K by tau to power K, anything from the image will become then the image of tau to P, and tau to P is zero. So this is zero. And this means exactly that the image of tau to power P minus K is contained in the kernel of tau to power K, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, what about dimensions? We know that dimension of image of power P minus K. Sorry. Okay, so we have first of all, we know that the kernel of tau to power K has dimension, which is which we have to calculate it, and which happened to be K, right? Dimension kernel of tau was one, and so on. Then it increased one by one. I'm warned that the connection is unstable. Hope that it will not break the connection. On the other hand, we know that the sum of dimensions, dimension of the image of tau to P minus K, and dimension of kernel of tau to P minus K is P. So dimension of tau of kernel, we know that this is P minus K. And we deduce from this that this dimension is K. So we have that both dimensions of the kernel of tau to P, the dimension of kernel tau to K is K, and the dimension of image of image of tau to P minus K is K, and one of these spaces is contained into the in the other. This means that the spaces coincide.
Yes.
And I have proven this. Therefore. So this is the end of the proof for this lemma. And now we can consider the sequence, short exact sequence that was somehow announced last time but was not proved. Namely, let's consider a pair of numbers, K and L. K is not greater than L. And L is less than P, less or equal than P. K is greater than 1. And consider the kernel of tau to power k. It is contained, of course, in the kernel of tau to power l. We multiply by tau to power l minus k several times. So this is injective. And then we have the quotient. And the quotient can be identified with the kernel of tau to power l minus k. How this come? Well, we now know that these kernels are also images. They coincide with the images of a sort of dual operator.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is included here. And now let us multiply an element here by tau to power k. What we get, sorry, it's not embedding, it is just surjective. This is the image of p minus l plus k. Look, I just took anything which is tau to power p minus l of whatever and multiply it by tau to power k, and I get, of course, tau to power p minus l plus k of the same c. So this image goes to that image, but that image is that kernel.
Yeah.
Last time I proved, in a sense, only inclusion. Well, it was in slightly different formulation. And now we have this exact sequence. Okay, all this stuff so far was in vector space V, which was the group algebra of the cycle. And we operated in a different environment. We operated in the Smith complexes. So let me remind that we can see the now space X, simplicial space, with action of the CP. And in this X we have, so okay, the generator of CP, still I denoted by T. So this T has a fixed point set, which I denote by F, and the quotient, which I denote by X prime. Right? It's like last time.
Yes. Just
repeat. No. And we can see it, the chain complex of this space X with coefficients in Fp. I will skip later on coefficients. All of them will be Fp for all chain groups. But now I have something induced by this T here. And this chain group now is a module over Fp of Cp. Or rather, complex of modules. Okay. And therefore, we have all the operators in this in this group algebra acting in this complex as well. I have this tau and sigma and All the relations among them still are correct. So we have question.
It's okay.
Yeah. So there are special notations for the corresponding kernels. So tau acts in this complex, and the kernel of tau to power k acting in the complex. Is denoted by Smith in honor of the author. K, Q dimension of X, right?
Yes.
Now we have another thing, the same, but acting in the relative complex. Which is naturally denoted in a similar way, but the argument is not X, but the pair X. Okay.
Yeah.
So since this is an action of group in the complex, it commutes with the boundary. The boundary preserves this chains of groups, so it is subcomplexes of the corresponding complexes. Now, well, we want to understand the relation between them. First, let us look at the complex of X. As a vector space, it can be presented as the sum of chain group of the fixed point set and the quotient, the relative chain group. But here the sum so far is only on the level of vector space. It is not the sum of complexes. Well, the chain groups of F, of course, form a subcomplex. But the relative groups form a rather quotient complex. So if we lift them, just take natural lifting CQF, it will be a subcomplex. It will be just a subspace. The boundary of relative chain, maybe getting into F. So this is only as vector spaces. However, if now we will consider the kernels of powers of tau, this splitting becomes splitting of complexes. Because of the following, tau to power k acts trivially for any k greater than zero. This tau is 1 minus t, and on F, t is 1. So therefore, if you take Smith K Q of XF and apply differential. Differential does not get into F. This is already belonging to the kernel. And it is simultaneously an image of the, of some power of tau, so it doesn't interact with F. And this means that we have really splitting of complexes, direct sum of complexes. The Smith K Q of X is the direct sum of Smith K Q of XF and just usual, I wanted to, say, to write Smith, but it is not Smith, it is just CQ of F. Because CQ of F is included into any kernel. Now, from the point of view of vector spaces, this vector space is a direct sum of some number of copies of V. For each simplex in X minus F, for each of X minus F, we have one copy of V. So, well, it's rather to say X prime minus F. No, it's not good to write in this way. But really, it splits. It splits, and the situation is like that. So we have a simplex in X minus F, and we have its copies by action of T. And if you just consider the part of CF key generated by them, this is just a copy of V. And for each orbit of a simplex, we have another copy. While this is the sum of trivial representations, for each orbit, we have part of this complex where the group does not have. Okay, then what we just discussed can be about the group algebra of CP, of the second group, can be applied here in the following way. So what we discussed can be applied, is applicable to this relative, this kernel of tau to power k. And we proved that this is the image of tau to power k minus k. And here, it is just kernel and it does not intersect the image. The image of any power of tau is zero. This is applicable only here. So then, what this exact sequence that we discussed turns into? So its first term is Smith absolute. Second term, it is Smith absolute with index L. And here, only part which is relative is present. So what we have is the following exact sequence: Smith K of x. Well, I would rather write here star for AQ. It is included into Smith A, no, Smith L. L. And it goes further to Smith star of for the L minus K, but here we have to factorize by F. Of course, if we from the very beginning start with a relative complexes, if you also so here we have a splitting the Smith star K of X can be split into relative and the Smith, but not Smith, and just the chain complex of F. And here we have the same. And here we have the same as above. And if you, okay, on the level of C star F, it is identical. On that level, it is multiplication, it is inclusion. And then it goes the multiplication by tau to k as before. So we have this sequences of complexes which give rise to short exact sequences of complexes which give rise to what is called Smith homology sequences. Lots of them. And among them, so some of these groups were interpreted in terms of the original of the homology of the original spaces. In particular, Smith P Q of XF. No, wait. Of X. It is just CQ of X when the index, the order is maximal. Then Smith 1 Q of XF can be identified with CQ of X prime F, quotient space. Because we know that this is the kernel of tau and this is the same as the image of sigma. And image of sigma. So it is a collection of invariant chains. So we have this invariant chain. In the quotient space to each orbit, we have just one simplex corresponding. So we can pick up a chain here, a chain in the quotient, well, mod F, because we consider the free part of the section, and okay. And then we can map this chain with some coefficient here, with to the chain which takes which has the same coefficient over all simplexes. So this is an isomorphism. This is what is called transfer. This is the isomorphic things. Well, and that's it. And after that, we can play this homology sequences, and we can prove the inequality that I proved last time. Let me remind this inequality. So let me introduce notation. BQ of whatever space Y will denote the dimension of the dimension over FP of the homology group with of dimension Q of this Y with coefficients in FP. Vector number, mostly. Then with the dimensions, I will iterate in a free way. So you will see in a moment. So the main statement in the situation that we considered already, the inequality looks like that the sum of all dimensions starting from Q, the sum for K greater or equal than Q infinity of BK of F is at most the dimension, the similar dimension for X, the similar vector number for X, plus BQ of X prime F. And this what was deduced from the homology Smith sequences last time. In particular, if we take for Q, zero or less than zero, then what we have is so this relative term will disappear. And we will have what is called Smith-Floyd inequality. Smith-Floyd. How is this written like this? Smith-Floyd inequality. Smith didn't write it. Smith only proved this inequality for the case when X is a homological sphere of mod P. And his work was published in the 40s. The most detailed publication is in the textbook by Lefschetz, Algebraic Topology by Lefschetz. And in the beginning of 50s, I guess, I don't remember exactly the year, but it was the first half of the 50s, Floyd published a paper where he wrote already this exact sequences and reduced this inequality and discussed also the case when we have an action in homology Boulder, or action in homology Boulder, fixed point set also is in homology Boulder. Okay. Questions so far?
It's okay. Mm-hmm.
It was very detailed and therefore a little bit more technical than usual. And therefore, it's a little bit boring, but now I do this in a serious way with all the details. So, if you have any questions, please ask. There are other inequalities which can be deduced from this. Depends what you want to do. You may apply the same sequences in different ways. In particular, in the same situation, there is an equality which estimates the Betti number of the space X through the Betti number of the Bolzmann space and relative. The number of the pair of the same dimension. To the best of my knowledge, this is my inequality. I needed it for my PhD long ago. It was in the beginning of 70s or late 60s. The PhD was defended in 74. It was mainly about knot theory, about cobordisms of knots, things like that. But it is so simple that there is nothing to be proud about. It's just consequence of this Smith sequence. When you take it, immediately get this result. So let me sketch the proof. So we take again the sequence. Did I write the sequence from all the sequence? I wrote only this kind of thing. We need to. Right. So it is a sequence where L equals P and K equals 1. It doesn't matter. I can start with K equals P minus 1. It looks like that. The homology. Quotient space plus motion of F is mapped to the motion of F, and then it goes to the motion again of this quotient, and then we have the boundary homomorphism to homology of pair and homology of pair. Okay. And now the thing that you want to estimate is this group. So you write down immediately that the homology, the Betti number, the dimension of this group is at most the sum of these two dimensions. Oh, wait. Not quite. So one of these groups should be the Smith group. It's not. Two-fold covering. The two-fold covering it will be like this. But here you have only one of them like that, and the other one should be the Smith. So let us choose one. And this one, I guess it's better to have like this. This should be Smith. Homology of Smith. And here, similarly, should be homology of Smith. So then we have that this is BQF plus. BQ X prime F plus BQ Smith minus 1 of x prime of x. And this is too rude. I want to make it a little bit more precise. What will happen later on, I will estimate this by p minus 1 times that, or p minus 2 times that. But now I want to eliminate BQF. And for this, I want to consider another homology sequence of pair XF. HQ of X, X prime. HQ of X goes to HQ X prime F. It goes through HQ minus 1 F. And what was before? HQ of F.
Yes.
Repeat. So this is just the homology sequence of pair X prime F, right?
Yeah.
Now, from the point of view of homomorphisms, it is something which is some homomorphism from here appears also there. Namely, this homomorphism is best part. Part of boundary homomorphism in the Smith sequence. And similar, certainly here. This one is a part of HX prime F. So it splits into two. This one and that one. And that one is the same as here. Now, from exactness of this, it follows that so what is let me introduce some letters here just for notation of this homomorphism. It is temporary, I don't want to think much. So I have alpha, beta, gamma, inclusion, representation, differential. And due to this exactness, the dimension of that group. BQ X prime is equal to the rank of alpha plus rank of beta, right? Rank of alpha is by exactness is the same as the dimension of kernel of beta. And as usual, we use this times already. Now, rank of beta is rank of alpha. What is this? It is BQ minus rank of gamma. Right. Similarly, rank of beta is BQ X prime F Minus rank of gamma. So what we have in the right hand side is dq minus gamma. Okay, you know this gamma prime. Plus rank x. Okay. Dq x prime f minus rank gamma prime is gamma prime. Now, probably I have to rewrite this slightly differently. Namely, I want really to replace this BQ by the stuff which appears from this formula. So BQF equals BQ x prime. Minus BQ x prime f minus rank gamma minus rank gamma prime. And I can plug it in into this. Right, but probably I have to do something with this equality as well. Something with this equality in a similar way, because I want to make it sharper. I want to grow this equality. What can I use? Some advantages of my hardware. So this is the inequality related to the Smith sequence. This is the Smith sequence. I want to improve this inequality. I have to do single iteration here. Okay. So this will be A, and this will be B, and this will be C. This is rank A plus rank B, as we discussed before. And rank B is BQ of F plus BQ of Q minus one.
minus, and here is minus ranks plus VQ X prime F minus rank C. So this is a little improvement of this inequality. It turns now into equality. So I can forget about this intermediate part. Twice this ranks. But since now our C has a part which is this gamma, I can replace it with rank gamma and rank gamma prime. And it will give me inequality. So I want to replace this. Cross this out, I replace it with that. But then what happens? The gamma and gamma prime are just parts of this. This C involves gamma. This is gamma, which is also gamma. So rank C is great. When we subtract something smaller, we get something great. So we get inequality here. This also is reproduced. H, okay, BQ. And this is rank gamma, rank gamma prime. And now let us compare this with the previous inequality, which was here. So we can eliminate this rank gamma prime. And also what we have is in common. Okay, let me drop this. Move this also. So we had already this equality, and we can identify some parts. This is the same as that. This is the same as that. And well, not exactly. The signs are different. The simplest thing is just to express this from this equality and plug in instead of that. So what we get is here instead of this, plus VQ. Wow. The sign is wrong. Hmm. How could it happen? I have to stop soon. I have no time and it's a little bit complicated. Because probably I've made some mistake, because to the best of my imagination is that in this way I have to exclude this BQF and they appear here with the same sign. So instead of excluding, I just double them. And here also, this is doubled, although it should be excluded. So if everything would be done accurately, this should exclude, and at the end we would have the inequality that I promised. Well, the preliminary inequality, because after that the Smith group should be replaced by a sequence of application of other sequences to do this. Okay, I don't want to torture you with calculations like that. I will just upload the text where it is done. It is simple, it's not that good.
Okay.
But,
okay, thank you.
So,
Okay, thank you.
And one more thing I want to tell you about this. It is possible also to have a more complicated inequality, in a sense more general, for which it is a special case. Namely, instead of individual Betti numbers, you can have here in this inequality alternating sums of Betti numbers in any segment of even of odd length. So you can do this not with individual but with alternating sums of them, and it really gives estimates for some applications in knot theory. I don't want to expand about this, but this is quite useful. I will give you reference to this. Okay, that's all for today. I will upload this text, and next time I think we should start this abstraction theory, right? The next thing to do. And I would be happy to talk to you anytime. And in particular in my office hours, but any other time also, you have to. That's all for today.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.